Jeffrey Siegel, thank you so much for coming in.
It's a pleasure, as always, to talk music with you, Susan. Thank you for inviting me.
Let's talk about the program Music of the Night, the Magical and the Macabre.
Yes, Music of the Night. I thought just prior to Halloween, this was the right program to play. It is a keyboard conversation program. It means it's a concert with commentary. Every work on the program will be performed in its entirety. What we like to think of as the plus is that prior to the performance of each work, I speak briefly to the audience about the musical composition they are to hear, usually with some musical examples out of context. And this program, Music of the Night, is going to include some very beautiful music that seems shot through with a gentle moonlight. We're going to have a couple of nocturnes, which means night piece, on the program. When someone thinks of nocturne, one thinks of Chopin, and almost invariably it's this piece of Chopin's. Nocturne of Chopin, Opus 9, Number 2, an early work of his, but I think Eddie Duchin made it very popular in another title. What's very interesting is that Chopin was not really the originator, the father of the nocturne.
Nocturne also comes from French and Latin, meaning of the night. Mm-hmm. But I understand that it was first used to describe works that were played at night, not works that had any particular form
That's
to them.
Right. Mood music, if you will. And the originator of the nocturne was an Irish composer named John Field. We know Chopin knew Field's nocturnes. He actually heard Field play. And we're going to offer a nocturne of Field on the program, a beautiful one that begins this way.
Now, Field lived between 1782 and 1837. Why was he called the father of the nocturne?
No one wrote for the piano a nocturne of this particular style, and Chopin knew it and was inspired by it and came up with his own. Interestingly enough, we're going to have a nocturne of Chopin on the program, which is very different from the one that Eddie Duchin made so popular. And you only have to hear a few seconds of this nocturne of Chopin to know you're in a very different night mood. It starts out as one of the darkest pieces of music that Chopin wrote. There's a very agitated middle section, and then he goes back to that dark, mournful, filled with melancholy music. And just as you're expecting the last final sad chord, there's a transformation, a subtle one that's absolutely a musical miracle, and you feel that a new day has dawned after this very troubled night. It's, for me, one of Chopin's greatest pieces of music, and it's titled Nocturne. We're going to have a couple of excerpts from Mendelssohn's Midsummer Night's Dream, the scherzo, which Rachmaninoff transcribed for the piano.
That's fun.
And a piece that many of us have walked down the aisle to.
Mm-hmm.
that's part of Music of the Night?
That's part of Music of the Night. It comes from the Midsummer Night's Dream, the incidental music that Mendelssohn wrote to Shakespeare's play. And why did Mendelssohn write this music for Shakespeare's play, particularly the scherzo and the wonderful, exuberant march? Think, Susan, how many millions of people have walked down the aisle to that march without knowing that Mendelssohn wrote it or why? Mendelssohn arguably was the most popular, highly esteemed composer of his time in the early part of the 19th century. And King Frederick Wilhelm IV of Prussia summoned Mendelssohn to meet with him and told him that a new theater was to open in Potsdam, I think 1842 or 3, and that it would open with a performance of the king's favorite play, Midsummer Night's Dream, of Shakespeare. All this unusual stuff happening in Midsummer Night. And he asked Mendelssohn, asked or commanded, I don't know which word would be right here, to write incidental music, which would be interspersed in various parts of the play. Mendelssohn, when he was 16 years old, had written an overture to this play. But now he's an old man of, 32, and he accepts the summons, he accepts the command from the king, and produces the music.
Wow. So was your idea in putting this program together to show the variety of music, the moods that people think of when they think of the night? And it's maybe because when night falls, things aren't quite as clear as they are in the daytime.
And certain nightmarish moods can take over in the night. And therefore, we have the Danse Macabre of Saint-Saëns in an arrangement of Liszt. This is a very famous piece. The main tune of it is this. What's really interesting is when you find out what inspired Saint-Saëns to write this piece. He had read a poem by a rather minor Parisian poet, Henri Casalis, about death coming along, playing the violin, which summons skeletons in a churchyard grave to leave their coffins. It's midnight. And to dance, if you will, to death's tune on the violin. And it's fantastic how Saint-Saëns' music illustrates this, the idea of midnight in a churchyard cemetery. The piece begins with one note repeated 12 times. And then you hear death tuning its out-of-tune violin. And then comes the macabre march, the macabre waltz, actually. And at the end, when there's a fury of excitement, all of a sudden the sound is heard of the morning rooster, the cock-a-doodle-doo. And sadly, the dancing skeletons have to return to their final resting place. It's wonderful to know this story, and you appreciate all the more when you know this story, how the composer has so artfully transcribed this rather macabre tale into some rather macabre music. So we have everything from the glorious nocturnes of John Field and Chopin to this macabre piece of Saint-Saëns.
Wow. Well, talking about the nocturne itself, it started out as a name applied to pieces played at night. Did it then develop its own form? So when people sat down to write a nocturne, it would take a certain form?
It's interesting, and the idea of music inspired by night, what Chopin called the gray hour, twilight time, was when he would love to play for a few special people in a room. And he didn't knock them over with a lot of bravura loud playing. He would play music of a softer nature. And from John Field, one sees this in Chopin too. There's something predictable about the form, that it will begin with some dreamy music, then the tempo increases, the sound increases in the middle section, and then the music will conclude with the soft tones with which it began. As with all great composers, they take the form and they make it their own. It's not always so predictable as that. But if a composer sat down to write a nocturne, that would usually be what it would be. And composers since then who've written nocturnes tend to write very lyrical compositions where you feel there's a soft moonlight that goes through most of the work.
What emotion do you think they're tapping into in listeners?
I think the idea of restfulness, of not being in a spotlight, so to speak, but also music that inspires, I think, inner thoughts in a person, memories of a person, where you're not necessarily facing bright lights, but you're allowed to, in a quiet, hazy moment without bright lights, not the sunlight, or a glaring, luminescent light, you are letting the music come through to you.
They're beautiful pieces, and I think in our hectic world today, it's nice to think about music that can take you into the night in a way. Not the scary music that you're talking about, but the nocturnes that can sort of take you into the night and let you transition from your hectic day into sleep.
Yes, I think you've put it very, very well. And the fact that this concert is occurring on the night before Halloween, I thought it would be an appropriate program. Absolutely.
That's great. Thank you so much, Jeffrey Siegel.
Thank you, Susan.
Everything you hear on WRTI is made possible by members. Please join today.